Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to highlight three goals from our text today, all related goals. One, I think there's a goal in here to insult people. I'm going to play on words a little bit. Insult, you can spell I-N-S-U-L-T or I-N-S-A-L-T. Another one is to enlighten people and with a purpose. And lastly, to enfrighten. I know that's not really a word, but I'll get back to that. Enfrighten people with a purpose. All in our text. All three of these goals will all have one result, three in one. You'll see how much you need Jesus. Jesus for you, Jesus in you, and Jesus through you. First, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Do you feel insulted yet? You should. Remember Lot and his wife in the Old Testament? What happened to her when she turned back to Sodom and Gomorrah instead of keep going on the way and listening to God's word? She turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus here was saying that we are the salt, and that's not bad. Something everybody uses to cook with, to clean with, to tenderize, to preserve good things for later use. It's a valuable commodity in the time of Jesus' salt. In fact, newborn babies, they used to salt, used to put a bunch of salt in the newborn babies. I thought it was a medical reason, but apparently it was a ritual. Leviticus 2:13 talks about this, that ensures that later on they'll be full of integrity in life. Huh. I figured that's what's wrong with Washington today. We didn't insult our babies, right? Good-for-nothing salt. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus was just calling all of his hearers. If the salt has lost its saltiness, implication, the salt of the earth, you are, lost its saltiness. In other words, we have a purpose that is not being fulfilled. God's people of old were to live by faith, and oh, how often they failed, didn't they? They didn't recognize that God was fulfilling his promise to send Mashiach Elohim, the Messiah, Jesus. And they failed to live by faith. And also, we heard in the Old Testament how people failed to live by love. Remember all the fasting Paul read in the Isaiah text? You choose to do this fast where it's all rituals, but what's the real thing that you lack? Is showing love to other people. Do that kind of fast. Help the poor, the homeless, the sick, the hurting. And then I'll come be with you. I'll be your rear guard and your front guard. I'll be with you. But as it is, people weren't living by true faith. They were worshiping that which they thought about God rather than the true God. It says show mercy. They compromised with the culture. They adopted the careless attitude of the world. They followed their own agendas rather than God's. They didn't value life. Not even the least in society did they value. They'd become like useless salt, tasteless white stuff. How will it be restored? Cooks throw it away in the trash. But our God is no cook. He cares for this salt that he created. He restores it with a miracle. It's called forgiveness. It's called grace. It comes through hearing the message of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus. And God does that for you, dying for sin, rising to life. and through the message of that for you, what God does as with a substitute with his son for you, that saltiness is restored. You're salty again. You're useful again. You're valuable to the earth. You're valuable to God again through Jesus, the one speaking these very things. Jesus also said today, you are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. As we are enlightened by God, we cannot but be light for the world. Not hidden, not concealed, for what good is that? Same kind of theme, isn't it? What good would it be if you had a lamp and you covered it up? It's no good for anything, not for anybody in the house. Nobody does that. But through us, God shines the light of Christ, his Son, so that the world will see it. That the world will see the true light of the world that we just sang about, thy strong word, which lightens everybody. People will see Christ in the good works that he's given his church to do. The good works that we do help show who Christ is. How he comes to help and bring healing and help. Care for the poor, care for the sick, care for one another. Through those good works, people will see Christ at work and give glory to God. Luther said, we are to be like little Christs in the world, dying to self and doing God's will for others and unto others. Not only forgiving the sins of others, but lending a helping hand. For Christ came doing his work by word and deed. If we only do half, if we think we can only have faith and that's enough, then there's something wrong with our faith, right? Doesn't James also tell us the same thing when he says faith without works is dead? Remember, we don't do good works to earn God's favor, to earn a place in heaven. We do them, as Jesus said in the text, so that they, others, may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, God doesn't need your good works. But your neighbor does. Especially those without the saving knowledge of Jesus come for sinners to fulfill the law for us and to give us that gift of eternal life. And that leads us to the third goal, the third thing Jesus said in the text, the longest one. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. For whoever relaxes the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, and this is the frightening part, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So I ask you, my friends, after hearing that, are you frightened? The third goal in the text, I think, is to enfrighten. That's not a word, although you'll find it in the Urban Dictionary. It means to be enlightened with knowledge you didn't want. Let's get right to the point. What's the purpose of Jesus telling us this? To frighten us? I mean, the first commandment does say we are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. So maybe he says things like this to frighten us, to do good works. You better do it or you're never getting into heaven. You better be better than the scribes and the Pharisees. And if that's the case, I'm in trouble. To live holy lives? To strive to be the holiest of holies? I believe God had a better purpose in saying this than that. If we indeed try to live by the law to moral perfection, we should be frightened. For the scriptures declare, no one does good. No, not one. Isaiah says, all your good works are like filthy rags in God's sight. So how will your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes? How will your righteousness be better than theirs or better than Jesus's, maybe even, huh? The law? Will it happen by you trying harder? Well, what happens to the fact that a long time ago you failed at that one point? Well, St. James also says if you fail at one point of the law, you become accountable for the whole law, don't you? So even all your striving, even if you had a little bit bad record, that's going to just do it in for you. Your righteousness will not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees if they're considered the moral example. It won't happen that way by trying harder to do the law. It will happen by trusting in God's grace through Jesus Christ. It will happen by believing the reason why God sent Jesus. And he tells us in the text, I've not come to abolish the law, therefore continue to strive to do it, but I've also come to do what? Fulfill the law. To fulfill the law. And if he fulfills the law, and he's the one who dies on the cross, and he says peace to you on Easter morning, what does that mean? I think it means your saltiness has been restored. I think it means that you really are the light of the world. I think it really means that your righteousness is not from you, but is Christ on you, clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sins. In other words, when God looks down on the earth and he sees you, he really sees Jesus. And that's why it's so important that you hear this text today and to believe it. It's really saying that you really need to have three things. Jesus for you, Jesus in you, and Jesus through you. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift of his word that is yours today for all hearts who hear and believe in his holy name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.